we're back.
Hey. Playing the part of Richie Rich tonight will be Steve Classic.
Oh, thank you very much, Captain.
Playing the part of Steve Classic will be Big Kahuna.
Wow.
Good evening.
Playing the part of Captain Kickass will be Captain Kickass.
Yes, it is Free Talk Live. In case you're wondering what we're babbling on about.
Captain's log.
Star date 05 015 2022. Those are official demarcations now in the captain's log.
Nice.
Logbook.
Great job, Captain.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very little. It was ungratefully depreciated. and if you're when you're moving the mic around, try and hit the
cough button. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So
I'm not used to being over on this second chair.
No, you.
I'm a number two.
You're a number two tonight.
Exactly.
We've moved things around. We've had some personnel, you know, changes. People need days off, and some people can't get here. You know, all the time. You know, I myself included. I missed last Sunday.
Right. Gas prices. I mean, I'm not driving that far.
I miss that.
Gas prices. In fact, on my way into the studio, I saw 449 here in New Hampshire.
I paid 465 on my way up from Florida a couple days ago.
Wow.
Florida man.
Well, you drive a Prius. You probably haven't fueled up since last year or something.
I rub the Prius in everyone's face now. Oh, you got a Prius? You got a Prius? Like, yeah, I got a Prius now. They're all jealous.
I don't have friends, but I have some internet friends that have been taking photos of gas prices. This one is
in New Hampshire.
No, this one's from somewhere outside of Seattle.
Oh.
I'm trying to remember. It's Mount something or another. $5.59 for the cheap stuff.
Gasoline?
Yeah. Diesel $6.29.
Wow.
And then this from a gal I know who's taken a trip down to the Los Angeles area. regular at $6.99. Plus is 719 V power at 729 at the Shell station.
A bargain at half the price.
Wow. Let's go, Brandon.
Yeah. let's go elsewhere.
I did that. You gave me a bunch of stickers, Kahuna.
I may have done that.
Yeah, those things just fly. You know, you put them on there, and the next day they're gone.
So we could talk about inflation and that kind of thing, but I want to talk first about abolishing the police.
Back the boot.
Because there's no choice in the matter. You don't have any choice. Normally, when you subscribe to a service or you purchase a product or something along those lines, if the organization that you pay to do these things, if they do a crappy job, well, then you can fire them and hire a competing service who has a better reputation or, you know, or they more fulfill what it is you're looking for in an organization, do those kinds of things. When it comes to police, you don't have any choice. It's take it or leave it. You know, move to another town.
Yeah, go to
perhaps
another town with another bunch of police department.
Right, but it's the same thing. You still have no choice in the matter. And you can't fire them.
No accountability.
There's zero accountability. Who watches the watchers, right? They're going to say, oh, we have internal affairs. Yeah, but like what kind of effect do they actually have? And do they prevent horrific things from happening? And the fact of the matter is that the outcome does not suit the amount of money that's put into it, right? The ends do not justify the means. And so things like these, I got three different stories here. Things like these continue to happen. We continue to talk about them here on Free Talk Live. There's a whole bunch of other alternative media outlets that are talking about this as well. So this from the Free Thought Project. Jury finds officers at fault for failing to stop fellow cops from beating an innocent teen unconscious. The cliff notes on this thing is there's several cops, three cops, I believe, involved in this. One cop decided it was a good idea to beat a teen unconscious. The other two cops stood around and did nothing about it.
They turned their cameras off, probably.
The story we'll talk about some of the things that happened, but the cliff notes is that I didn't expect this to happen. It doesn't usually happen, but a jury finds those guys who stood around and did nothing. They found them at fault.
Really?
Yeah, which is unusual, right? Usually the courts are on the side of the system, and they just go, oh, yeah, whatever. We investigated ourselves, and we found we did nothing wrong. So a little bit of an unusual twist, but the real twist here, not twist, but the real outcome here is that the cops themselves who were found at fault are not going to pay anything.
They're on administrative leave.
Right. So there's no punishment for these guys other than administrative leave.
Right. Which means you don't have to show up to work and you still get your money.
They get paid.
You get paid to stay home.
They continue to get paid. They continue to build towards their pension. Yep. They continue to have benefits. Right. But who's going to pay the actual bill here? Right. Because if they found them at fault, that means that, you know, let's say the family of this teen sued them or whatever, they're going to be awarded some sum of money.
The city will pay for it.
No, not well. That's what they're going to print in the newspaper, of course. But it's not the city. You are the city. The people of the city are the city. That's who's going to pay for it.
Taxpayers.
The taxpayers are going to be on the hook for this thing. This is out of Contra Costa County, California. The taxpayers will soon be shelling out some serious settlement money after a teenager was brutally choked until he fell unconscious and then beaten even more afterwards by a cop's flashlight. I don't know if you've seen the cop flashlights.
Oh, those are heavy duty. They're about 12, 18 inches long.
Yeah, and I don't know what inch and a half.
They probably weigh 10, 15 pounds.
Yeah, Maglite, I think, is the common
with D
brand.
Batteries in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, good and heavy.
Body camera footage from the disturbing incident shows that after the cops beat Ricardo Hernandez, then 19 years old, they lied in their police reports to cover their crimes and justify their false arrest.
Wow.
In one of the first of its kind cases, the jury has found that officers at the scene that night failed to intervene and stop what jurors believe was excessive force by a Costa County Sheriff's deputy. It was a traffic stop, apparently. The verdict was made in civil court and calls for Hernandez to receive $500,000. In damages. So on one hand, okay, great. You know, the dude was wronged. The family sued. The court said, yeah, those guys were in the wrong. We award you $500,000. You would think in a regular situation that would be cool.
Well, what about the psychological damage to the teen?
Yeah. But who's going to pay that $500,000?
The city.
Yeah. Quote unquote.
Yeah, the city will pay for it. The insurance policy will pay for it.
The taxpayers of that city or county are going to pay. According to the lawsuit filed in federal court, Hernandez was a passenger in the backseat of a stolen car, which he did not know was stolen. In fact, none of the occupants knew it was stolen. Sheriff's Deputy Brandon Battles.
Brandon?
Battles.
Let's go, Brandon.
That's
a cop name.
Battles. Yeah. Like Dr. Payne.
He pulled the car over after noticing it was driving with no lights. When he ran the plates, he found the car was stolen, called for backup. As the video shows, all of the teens were ordered out of the car one by one at gunpoint. Hernandez complied with the orders to walk backward with his hands on his head. However, as the video shows, instead of handcuffing the compliant teen, Battles put him in a cartoid hold, a type of neck restraint. I think
that sounds like a wrestling move.
That's like the half Nelson or the full Nelson.
Something like that.
Sounds like an RKO.
And, of course, Hernandez lost consciousness. I don't feel I did anything wrong, Hernandez said. I was a little scared because there were a lot of officers.
Well, yeah.
As Mercury News reported, video from a police body camera received by this news organization shows some of the scene of the arrest, including a clip where at least one deputy can be heard saying, he's out, he's out, he's out. The lawsuit argues that when the deputy said, he's out, referring to Hernandez, Battles knew that meant Hernandez was unconscious, but that Battles continued to instruct him to give his left hand behind his back and be handcuffed. 603-283-6160 is the telephone number here. If you'd like to weigh in, more Free Talk Live is coming up. It's the Sunday night edition.
And we're back.
Yes, we are back. It is Free Talk Live. It is the Sunday night edition. The telephone number here in the studio, if you'd like to join in the conversation, is 603-283-6160. Again, that telephone number, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass, joining me tonight.
Big Kahuna.
Steve Classic.
And welcome, Big Kahuna, your debut.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. You're looking tan. You've been in the South?
I may have been.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. It has been sunny around here.
It has. It feels like Florida right now.
Yeah, 85 or something, you know, the other day.
I think it was 87 in my apartment yesterday.
Yeah. a lot of folks getting yard work done, that kind of stuff.
Getting sunburned.
Yeah. We are talking about, well, I'm talking about specifically the idea of abolishing the police because unlike any other service or product, you have no choice in the matter. They claim a monopoly over protection services, over policing services. And we know that people do want protection services. We know that it's important. However, whenever somebody has a monopoly on it, things always go awry. Mm-hmm. And in this first story that we have tonight, we're talking about a 19-year-old gentleman named Hernandez who was beaten unconscious by a police officer. The lawsuit, and then they sued for abusive, you know, police abuse, whatever, that kind of a thing. He was awarded $500,000 in the lawsuit. The lawsuit argues that when the deputy said he's out, when the deputy had choked the guy out,
he
announced that he's out, referring to Hernandez. The officer Battles, knew that meant that Hernandez was unconscious. And he continued to instruct him to give his left hand to be handcuffed, even though he couldn't. He's unconscious. It's impossible to do. Right. After the deputies repeatedly demand Hernandez stop resisting in the video, again, impossible to do when you're unconscious, one can be seen hitting him with a flashlight. And we discussed how big a police flashlight is, the maglite style that they carry. It doubles as a baton. In fact, police are trained to use this flashlight as a baton. The lawsuit alleges that Battle struck Hernandez in the head and neck 6 times with his flashlight, and another deputy, Joseph Anderson, beat Hernandez's right shoulder area.
Good hitting police.
Serving and protecting the crap out of this guy.
Exactly.
Quote, I will, expletive, shoot you, a deputy's voice can be heard saying in the video. The lawsuit states that this is the voice of Battles, who had his pistol... the head of this unconscious. I think they're...
Typo.
Yeah, they missed a word here. It sounds like they hit him in the head with his pistol as the other guy beat him with the flashlight. So one guy's pistol whipping him.
Yeah.
The other guy's beating him with the mag light.
Because he's not complying, because he's unconscious. Conscious.
Can't respond.
Right.
Hernandez himself says, thank God I'm alive. He was there protecting me because... referring to God, not the police. He was there protecting me because, in my perspective, I would have been dead. So this guy was obviously, you know, afraid for his life. He thought he was going to die. There's no way to whitewash this. Attorney Kajina said to KTVU, what Deputy Battles did was wrong and egregious, and the fact that no one, including the officers from Richmond PD, did anything to stop him shows that they're liable for this conduct. So congratulations on the ruling. Unfortunately, despite the taxpayers being placed on the hook for nearly 7 figures, none of the officers in the video below faced discipline in this matter. They do enclose a video here. I'll put the link, of course, to this story out on our social media. So social.freetalklive.com if you want to see the video for yourself. So, I mean, one story like this would be, you know, okay, mate, Captain, you're getting carried away.
Why do I have a feeling it's not the only story?
This week.
Yeah. This year.
Or, yeah, this month.
This decade.
Yeah. Today.
You know, this century. We cover these types of stories frequently, and we don't cover them all. by any stretch of the imagination.
Just a sampling.
Just a very, you know, right. a small quantity of them actually make it through our show prep and on the air. There are other alternative media outlets that cover these in more depth than we do, cover more of them. You know, feel free to launch your preferred search engine to find them. But one incident like this, you might be, oh, Captain, you're getting abolished the police for this one incident. No, these incidents happen at a frightening rate, more so than what anybody would call a legitimate security incident, right? A response to something where they've actually helped somebody. So, also from the Free Thought Project, this is from May 12th. A 10-year-old girl calls 911 to report her police officer dad for sexually abusing her. Fellow cops cover it up.
What? Come on, man. That's not a real story, is it?
Chicago, Illinois. Frequent readers of the Free Thought Project are all too familiar with the concept of the thin blue line. Though law enforcement claims this line represents the force between good and evil, it is often used as a means to coerce and silence victims of police officers, especially when it comes to domestic abuse. For nearly a decade, TFTP has reported on countless incidents of police officers covering for fellow cops when they commit an act of brutality or when they beat their wives. Victims of domestic violence by police often have nowhere to go, as reporting the crime to their abuser's brothers in blue is a daunting task that could land them in deeper trouble. I say it all the time. Cops are the biggest gang in America.
They're all in on it.
Absolutely.
They all cover for each other.
It's a fraternity.
It is a fraternity.
It's a union.
It's worse
it's
than that.
It's a fraternity. It's a fraternity.
They pledge to each other before they pledge to the public.
Right.
They will protect each other before they will protect anyone else.
Right.
Which is contrary to, of course, what we're taught in public schools. Right, what's written on the side of their cars to protect and serve.
Right,
and how often have you seen that? You see
the community protecting the
community. The community, yeah. The community.
Television and movies, they like to drive that home.
Right,
you know. Oh well, yeah, they're protecting and serving. They're the they're the thin blue line between us and chaos.
Right. Well, I talk to people in Connecticut where I don't know, it's Connecticut.
Yeah,
it's just as crazy as California. It's just smaller. And it's on the East Coast. But, you got people there like, oh, yeah, back the blue. And they get, and then they've got the don't tread on me sticker on the back of their car. And you try to explain to them that the police are the boot of the don't tread on me. And they're like, what are you talking about? Well, come on.
Come on, man.
It's
who do you think's going to be doing the treading?
Right. So, and then someone said to me, like, the police, they're to protect and serve. I said, no, they're there to collect evidence and write reports. That's all they're there to do after a crime. They're not there to protect and serve.
One would think, however, that if a child of a police officer came forward to report that she had been abused sexually, that cops would not be able to sweep it under the rug or look the other way. As the following incident illustrates, however, that is not the case. We'll give you more details about this story coming up. This is Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160.
Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. video.freetalklive.com.
And we're back.
Yes, we are back.
Filling in for Richie Rich. It's great.
Yes, he's here vicariously through Steve Classic. Yes, it is Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. We'll get to your calls and thoughts momentarily. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Big Kahuna.
Steve Classic.
And we are talking about, well, I'm talking about abolishing the police, and I have three different stories about horrible police that one is a follow-up.
You're such a downer. And no good news about the police?
Is there ever?
I don't know.
I mean, here's the deal with police. Some people say, oh, it's just a few rotten apples that spoil the barrel. Well, they spoil the whole barrel.
Right.
If police were to actually do something about their reputation and help it out, like I'm certain people will call and say, "Well, what do you think should be done, Captain? You're so smart. What should, you know?" Okay, well, here, if cops really want to improve their reputation, all they need to do is get together with all their other cop buddies on their little cop chats or whatever they use to communicate with each other.
Squad cars,
yeah, or get on their radios. Radio, yeah. You know, okay, this is an all officer bulletin, and go. We're gonna stop.
Stop pistol whipping people and stop beating down people with their mag lights.
And also, we're going to stop arresting anybody for victimless crimes.
Absolutely.
That would make an immediate improvement across the board. I don't care what department you're in, if you're just a town cop or if you're in a large city. If all of you police would get together and act simultaneously to just stop harassing people for victimless crimes, then you would immediately improve the entire situation. But you don't do that. And so we continue to have these stories because you have a monopoly on the use of violence. And the people have no choice in the matter. If you do a crappy job as a police officer, the people have no choice. They can't stop paying you. They can't subscribe to a different service.
Can't fight back.
I mean,
you'll be beaten senseless.
Severe consequences.
Yeah, I mean, they will beat you for doing so, and they purport the authority to kill you for doing so. So
he thought he had a gun. He was reaching for a cell phone or whatever. It's nuts.
I don't know how many times we've covered those types of stories. Before we go on, I want to tell you that Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. You can go there now, click on Get Started at the top of the page. When you do that, you'll find all sorts of valuable information neatly organized to suit your needs. There's no longer any excuse to ignore this important and world-changing information. If you are a knowledgeable crypto user already, you can check out news.bitcoin.com and get the latest headlines for all the news that's relevant to you. Bitcoin.com is your source for everything crypto, like getting a wallet, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news on a very slick and easy-to-use website. Please visit bitcoin.com. All right. I had just begun this second article talking about a 911 call from a 10-year-old girl. Says her dad is sexually abusing her. Her dad happens to be a cop, and the fellow cops cover it up. Well, this story is out of Chicago, Illinois. One would think that if a child of a police officer came forward to report that she had been abused sexually, that cops would not be able to sweep it under the rug or look the other way. However, that doesn't seem to be the case. In March, a 10-year-old girl called 911 and told dispatchers that her father, a veteran Chicago cop, had sexually abused her. The victim was scared and called 911. Responding officers would later report, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, adding that the actions she described were sexual in nature. The officer's arrest started out normal, and it appeared that he would be held accountable. He was taken into custody, according to the arrest report, for aggravated criminal sexual abuse by a family member, which is a serious felony charge. But after spending several hours in jail, he would be released on zero bail with new charges of domestic battery, a mere misdemeanor.
Oh.
We can talk more about it. You have something to say?
Yeah, I mean, it's typical. I mean, think about the monopoly, an organization with power. Another similar organization would be religion. We see similar things happening, and it's a pattern.
It is. Yeah. When you have the power, what's the phrase? Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because the police force has a monopoly on violence, a monopoly on policing services, nothing ever gets remedied, right? So this guy's not going to get fired, right? The company's not going to go out of business because they provided a poor service.
Absolutely
right?
Not.
It's going to continue to go on. We could talk more about that. Let's go to Rob calling from Vermont. Rob, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
Yeah, so bad cops. It's important, Captain, that, you know, bad cops didn't just start, you know, a couple, two or three years ago.
Right.
Bad cops started, you know, long before any one of us on this show, myself and you guys, before we were ever thought of, you know. And what about the times out there that the police committed crimes and they got away with it? You know, like, for instance, the... What was it, 72, 73-year-old guy that was living in New Hampshire when they had stabbed to death that little girl and then moved all the way to hell down to Tennessee or wherever the hell it was, and they found him through DNA?
Yep.
You know, you could go on and on with this. Captain, the Wenatchee witch hunt.
Yeah, and you bring up a very good point, Rob, and that is for every story that does make it to the airwaves here on Free Talk Live or through an alternative media outlet such as the Free Thought Project or Cop Watch or Cop Block or any of the other alternative medias that do report on these stories, for every one, how many of them go unheard? How many of these stories are never told? How many of these atrocities are they getting away with on a daily basis in your town?
Well, I mean, like I said, over in Wenatchee, Washington, I mean, them stories go back to the 1980s and 1990s,
right,
where this detective, you know, just like going up to a tree and picking out apples, you know, he was picking out people out of churches and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just, and these... The lives of these people, this detective has long since has died, but the people that didn't do these crimes are still suffering.
Yeah, and they will. This guy is going to suffer for a much longer time, even though he's going to be awarded some money. And thank you for the call, Rob. We appreciate it.
Well, you know, I mean, he says, like, even going back to the 80s and 90s, what if you go back to the 70s, the 60s, the 50s, the 40s? You know, all the way back.
Generations.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a symptom of the fact that the organization is a monopoly. You only get these kinds of things when you have a monopoly.
Right. You can't cancel, like you can cancel your cable bill, you can't cancel your police bill.
And it's a monopoly combined with the power and the authority.
Yes.
That's a deadly, that's right, literally combination.
Government goons with guns. Oh, I can't say that.
No, you can.
Oh, I can.
And
okay.
You just did.
Yeah,
and
sorry.
It's an accurate statement.
Right, no, they've got guns.
No apologies necessary. I mean, every law is a gun. Every law is backed. I mean, it's a piece of paper, but behind that piece of paper is a gun.
Right.
Hiding behind it. And if you violate that law... You know, okay, maybe they send you a letter, right? Maybe they show up at your house.
They'll fine you.
You know, yeah, that kind of a thing. But if you don't pay the fine, eventually these costumed guys with shiny badges
will show up.
Will show up and they will want to take you away. And if you resist that, they will end your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's intimidation as well. The whole persona, the whole uniform, the mannerisms.
Jack boots, the glasses.
Yeah, it's everything.
603-283-6160. Do you believe that it is time to abolish the police? Give us your thoughts. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up. We are back, and front and side. I'm not bottom or top, though. You guys can, you know.
No, thank you.
Rochambeau over that one. This is Free Talk Live. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. We'll get to your calls and thoughts momentarily. For those of you who are on hold right now, in the studio tonight, it is myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me tonight,
Big Kahuna.
Steve Classic.
And we're talking about, well, I'm talking about.
Why do you say we're talking about that? You say I'm talking about.
Well.
I thought, aren't we all talking about it? No, maybe it's just you that's talking about it.
It's a conversation.
Yeah. Usually, you know, I don't want to speak for you guys is really why.
I thought we're all talking about it.
And like I say, I'm talking about because the bigger picture, if you will, is my desire to see police as they exist today. Abolished. I would like them to be replaced with market services.
Right, like an on-demand, I want to rent this movie, I want to rent the police.
Yes, right. Yes. I want to subscribe to a service.
Right.
You know, have a security service provider instead of an internet service provider. Right. I could have a security service provider.
Outsource it.
I could subscribe to a package that fit my individual needs instead of, doesn't matter who you are, you're paying the same, regardless, right?
Yeah.
Some people need more of these services than others. Some people need less. I'd be able to tailor one to my budget. You'd be able to tailor one to yours.
Right. We're all like individuals. It's kind of like if AAA, if you break down, you can subscribe to the service and pay right there.
Right.
Then you get the 1 year plan.
You get the silver, the gold, the platinum.
Right. You could buy it on demand.
So it's not rocket surgery or brain science. Or wait, brain surgery, rocket
brain
science.
Brain surgery.
Anyway, we'll talk more about. Well, we've been talking about. We talked
You've
about
been
one story
talking about it.
We talked about one story where a jury has found some officers at fault for failing to stop another cop from beating an innocent teen. With a police flashlight, a mag light, if you will. And then we had started this story about a 10-year-old girl who called 911 to tell dispatchers that her father, a veteran Chicago cop, was sexually abusing her. And the story hasn't gotten into it, but apparently the cops covered this up, as they are wont to do. So we'll talk more about that. We'll get more into that story. But first, let's go to Jill. Jill, you're on Free Talk Live.
As I understood it, they don't really have an absolute monopoly. I mean, if somebody is beating on you or somebody is breaking into your home and you've got the weapon and you don't, and the police aren't there and you don't have time to wait for them, you are allowed to act for yourself.
Well, of course, self-defense. But what if it's the cops doing it to you?
Well, I would imagine you could do it then, too.
Yeah, the courts don't always see it that way, though.
And you also have to be careful.
I think the cases you reported are absolutely outrageous, and they should be severely punished.
Agreed.
You also have to know your laws in your state. Some states have the stand your ground, Castle Doctrine, this sort of thing. Others don't. And if you don't do the right thing, you're going to be the one in trouble.
That's right.
I believe under the Second Amendment, they all ought to have those. It's the federal constitution.
Well, yeah, but we know what politicians and courts like to use the Constitution for, and it's a replacement for your Charmin. Thanks for the call tonight, Jill.
Wanna hear a
we
good
appreciate you.
Want to hear a good ATF joke?
Sure.
Knock, knock. Oh, never mind. Okay, Captain continues.
Let's go to Jet in Idaho. Jet, you're on Free Talk Live.
Okay, well, the main thing you need to know about police and cops and other people calling themselves law enforcement is that they're just other humans, just other people who are not morally superior. And the laws that they enforce are just the opinions of a small group, a very small group of men and women who are not morally superior either. And as well, many of them, most of them are dead, fired, retired, whatever, they don't exist anymore. So, in other words, the laws don't apply to me.
they do if they say they do.
Well, that's in any situation. In other words, if someone walks up to you on the street and says, I own you, I mean, you're owned if you're not able to take care of yourself. But I have some other scenarios that go along with the abortion thing, if I might.
Okay.
Okay, so scenario number one. you come upon an accident where there is a person struggling to get free. The car looks like it's going to be on fire. So we have, let's say, three choices. Do we help them succeed? Do we shut the door on them and watch them burn? Or do we do nothing and watch them burn? Scenario number two, we come upon someone drowning, struggling to stay alive. So do we help them succeed? Do we push them under? Or do we stand by and do nothing and just watch them drown? Scenario number three, we come upon a blob in the womb, struggling to mature into a child.
That happened to me on the way to the show tonight.
No, yeah.
It didn't. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do we help them grow? Do we cut the life cord, or we do nothing? So
yeah, I don't think you're comparing apples to apples there, but I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. But why is it everybody's responsibility to enforce this decision on other people?
Well, it's a choice. And of course, you do have.
Well, no, it isn't. If one way or the other way is forced upon people, if abortion is made illegal, then it's all going to go underground. Abortions are still going to happen, right? But now you're forcing one preference amongst everybody. Whereas if it's, you know, completely legal, then, you know, people can make their own decision.
Well, I'm thinking that. Well, you know how Pickles was saying that life begins when someone takes a breath. What about in the drowning situation where someone loses their breath? Does the spirit exit? And then they, if you bring them back to life, the spirit comes back in. It's things like this is why I maintain that human cells growing to be another human are simply human. And if we value this thing we call human life, we have to protect its potential. And if we cut the cord before it can take its first breath, we're prohibiting its ability to become, to enjoy life.
I was thinking about this further last night after the show was over. And it occurs to me, of course, one thing that I learned, at some point in my life when I was young, went to school for recording engineering. You know, how to operate a board in a recording studio.
You're doing it. Look at that.
Yeah.
Paid off.
And so what I learned is the word transduction or transducing, right? And I like to say that because deuce.
Well, right? I'm number two.
Anyway, my point is that all that happens in the audio world is energy never begins or ends. It's only transduced.
Right.
It only changes from one form of energy to another. So in that respect, life just exists. It never begins or ends. There is no beginning or end to it, because when you die as a human being, when you die, you know, sure, you might have breathed your last breath or taken your last breath, but your body decomposes, right? Maybe you get incinerated, or maybe your body gets buried and you start to decompose. But all of that is contributing to the rest of the life cycle on planet Earth in some way, shape, or form. So does life have a beginning and an end is an even bigger question.
Well, I like your term. You might be able to modify a little bit, call it the life force.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that way you can talk about it's never beginning and never ending. Yeah, because it is, it could be, could fall into that thing we call energy. Energy can never be created or destroyed. I mean, that's what we think.
Right.
Anyway. But I don't know. Just wanted to add that there are other situations in life where we have to make a choice whether to help someone survive or whether to do nothing or whether to worse, you know, keep them from experiencing life. So,
hey, thanks for the
call.
We appreciate it. 603-283-6160 is the telephone number if you would like to join us. Let's go to Bad Slave in New Hampshire. Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. I am happy to be on the phone with you. Listen, I want to say that, you know, let's back away a little bit from, you know, this whole security thing and look at the fact that what's happening.
Hey, Bad Slave, can you hang on?
Yeah, right. I'll hang.
We'll keep you over. I know you had thoughts to get out, so stand by. 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up. Yes, we are. Aren't we? I'm back. Are you back?
I'm back.
Indeed. It has been verified. We are back.
Free Talk Live.
The telephone number is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. The topic is cops. Police, specifically. I would like to see the abolition, the abolishment, the go-bye-bye of police as it is known today. And instead, I would like to subscribe to a security service that provides services that I want and need for a fair price in which I have choice when subscribing. That is to say that I believe many people have different needs when it comes to security, when it comes to any type of policing, when it comes to investigation of crimes, when it comes to, you know, all of these things can be provided by the market. There are a whole bunch of people that have very entrepreneurial spirits who would do very well in a marketplace that did not have a monopoly. One of the reasons why you don't see a whole bunch of security companies offering these services for a very palatable price with different choices and different packages to suit individual needs is because the government doesn't allow that to happen.
It's a monopoly.
You'll die if you try to compete with them, or at least be put out of business very quickly.
Right.
So we started with a story about some cops who beat an innocent teen. One cop in particular, the cops that were with him were found. Yes, indeed, they are at fault for not stopping him from beating this innocent teen. But of course, those cops aren't going to get punished in any way, shape or form. The teen was awarded $500,000, which, of course, the taxpayers are going to foot the bill for that.
Right. Not the city.
Not the city. Not the cops.
The taxpayers.
The taxpayers. So
city.
And then we started talking about this other story where a 10-year-old girl called 911 to tell dispatchers that her father, who's a veteran Chicago cop, had sexually abused her. And instead of them doing the right thing, they let this guy out after arresting him. Instead of charging him with a felony, a very serious felony, they let him out, no bail, on his own recognizance, and lowered the charges to domestic battery, a mere misdemeanor. And we'll get more into that. But first, let's go to your calls and thoughts. We were talking to Bad Slave in New Hampshire. And Bad Slave, you barely got a chance to speak. So what's on your mind?
Yeah, well, what I wanted to say is that in a healthy society, which I think we all wish for, that every member of that society has some bit of a responsibility to take care of business, to be, you know, cognizant of security, your own security. Yeah, I mean, if you don't honor your own personal security, you're nowhere. You know what I mean? And so I'm just saying that. You know, like Kyle Rittenhouse, he stepped up and he actually did something.
You bring up a very, very interesting point, Bad Slave, and that is when governments claim a monopoly over a service, in this case, the police, what it does is it allows people to take no responsibility of their own for these things. Right? Because it's literally been outsourced. You are forced to pay for it via taxation. And so most people never think about it. They don't consider, oh, well, I might have to think about security myself. I might, you know, outside of maybe subscribing to, like, you know, a home security system, an ADT or something like that. Most folks don't think about, what sorts of security and investigation needs and services they might need. They get to be lazy about it because it's outsourced to the state.
Right. Who will stop the speeders?
They also assume that the government agency is going to act in their best interest and do the best job possible for their needs.
And that is not the
case.
Is,
that is far from the truth.
I was, online. There's a gentleman that you may know. His name is Barry Cooper. He's been fighting the law for a long time. He's a former narcotics officer who was then persecuted because he helps folks sort of get out of their troubles with the law. And his point was exactly this, that when the law claims the monopoly, people assume that the law is doing a good job, the best that they can. When in his experience in working with people, like anybody who gets a public defender, they just basically breeze through it. They don't really know what's going on. They don't know how to fight. They don't know how to stand up for their clients. They don't know. They don't really even know the law a lot of the times. And he spends most of his time teaching them how to do their jobs for his client.
So I just want to add to what I started here is that monopoly you're talking about, mm-hmm. Captain, is in fact all of us that are able, and I think that you know, number one, your idea of, you know, a paid security force is fine. I think that, but I think that that actually comes from the idea that that we're all going to be crowded into cities. I think that people that live in smaller towns, like they have a voluntary
fire department.
Mm-hmm. You could have committees of safety, which was what existed in colonial America.
Yeah.
Back in the day, and they were responsible not only for the defense, you know, as a militia of the people, but of enforcing the law, of being an emergency, measure, which it would be extended by a fire department. We can do this stuff, and we can volunteer, and we can be, that bulwark, and we can, therefore continue to look to where we can improve society, rather than being extorted and have all this cost ladled into our resources. Come on, folks. We're already on a start with this, is we're already looking to do constitutional carry, although there's a Chicago.
Good luck in Chicago with that.
yeah. Well, I mean, there's this guy, a black guy in Chicago, is a rep, and then there's a senator too. They've been trying to pass this, God awful bill to basically, eliminate the possibility of individual self-defense.
Yeah. Hey, Bad Slave, thanks for the call. The only way that the police services can be provided in the market is the government gets out of the way. Right now, they're not going to do that. Right. In my opinion, I can't see a way that they're going to do that. I wish it could happen. I wish there was a way. Now, people are going to say, well, you got to call and write your congressperson or your senator or your mayor or whatever. And come on.
They're not going to relinquish perhaps the most power that they have at their disposal.
Right. Now, he did make some good points about voluntarism in action. Have you guys ever gone wilderness camping?
Yes.
Right. You go with a group of people, and generally speaking, like one guy or a couple, you take shifts or something like that to sort of patrol your own camp, right? To provide your own security for your micro community, right? Well, and this is how it gets done in a free market, right? You find some people who are capable or some volunteers that want to help.
Neighborhood block watch.
Yeah. And if they do a good enough job, it becomes a business, and then people subscribe to this, et cetera, and so on. All of these things are possible. How do we get the government out of the way? 603-283-6160. If you know how to get the government out of the way, let us know.
And we're back.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Big Kahuna.
I am Groot.
What were we talking about at the break? We should be talking about
603-283-6160. We've got a whole bunch of folks calling, and we'll get to those calls momentarily. This is Free Talk Live. Again, 603-283-6160. If you're having a hard time getting through, just please be patient as we work through the calls. Keep trying, and we'll try to get you on the air tonight. In the studio, it's myself, the Lord Reverend Captain Kickass, joining me.
Big Kahuna.
And Steve Classic.
It is Big Kahuna's debut. So if you want to call and...
Debut.
You know, debut.
Das Boot.
Yeah. Das Boot.
He's filling in for Steve Classic. Steve Classic's filling in for Richie Rich.
Right. And I'm... Well, I'm
you're,
just me.
You're just filling in.
I'm just me. I'm just here. I'm filling in for myself because I was absent last week, so...
How does that feel?
Good to be back.
It's good to be back. We've been talking about potentially abolishing the police. My thoughts on the subject are the government needs to get out of the way first and foremost, because you cannot, let's say you're some brilliant security-minded guy and you have the greatest idea for how to provide cost-effective security police types of services, investigative services, you know, that type of thing, protection services, and you want to bring that to market. You can't, because the government won't allow you to do it. They hate competition, so they won't allow you to do it. So how do we get the government out of the way?
It's a good question. I mean,
I think if you have three different private police forces, and then just, hey, which one do you want to subscribe to?
Yeah.
It's like three different restaurants in town. Which one do you want to go to?
We'll talk more about this, I'm sure. But first, let's go to Peakless Mountaineer.
Oh!
Calling from New Hampshire. Peakless, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, how's it going?
You have been summoned, apparently. Somebody spoke your name, and you doth appear. Doth? Half?
Yeah.
Doth?
Wait, is it doth or half? I'm not sure.
Didst and half.
Didst thou doth appear? What's on your mind, Peakless?
Real quick, I just wanted to clear up one thing that another caller had talked about with the police don't have the monopoly on the use of force, but they do have the monopoly on the initiation of force.
Very well, yes. Yes.
And that's an important distinction, because, like, the use of force, I mean, like another caller was saying, I mean, that should be everyone's responsibility, which was the original meaning of the term militia, was that every able-bodied man was capable of wielding force, but that's gone by the wayside these days. But the initiation of force is something that no one should have.
Yeah, I agree. And through the magic... of I'm getting some weird
sounds like
weird feedback going on there.
Charlie Brown.
Weird. Anyway, through the magic of legislation, of course, they made this possible. So you said you had something else to talk about, though, Peakless?
Yeah. The reason I called was I wanted to clarify what my argument was. So it was like, well, I mean, if you're only a person when you have breath, well, what about the person who's drowning? Don't they? And it's like, no, that's not it at all. So what I was saying was that once you have taken that first breath, then you have property. Like, because that's the thing. Like, sure, there's spirituality and there's values, and, like, you know, when he's talking about, like, well, shouldn't you help rescue a drowning person? It's like, well, I'm not obligated to do that. Mm. I, it's nice, it's good, it's better. It's what in philosophy you call aesthetic. And that's why I pushed back on preferences yesterday, because like that's talking about aesthetics. That's what's good, but it's not what's morally required.
Yeah, I and I'm muting you while I'm talking because we're getting weird feedback here, Peakless, so bear with me for just a moment. One of the things I think it came across as, you know, the first breath out of the womb, that's when life begins. That's what I think people are thinking or what they heard. That's what I had in my mind, you know, from the show yesterday. And I think that is not true. Again, I did some more thinking about the subject overnight. And in fact, you know, egg cells are life. Sperm is life, right? Life exists before those two things combine to create an embryo even. So I think that's
right,
where the...
Right.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about life, because, I mean, if it was life, then, you know, you can't murder that mold over there. Like, no, we're talking about a human life. We're talking about, and especially we're talking about protecting a human life and when we are required to do that. And we're required to protect when you have mixed your labor with nature. Once that's done, then I can't just, like, stand idly by and watch someone, you know, light your house on fire. Like, I have an obligation to protect property.
Yeah, I get your point about property. That makes a lot more sense when putting the word property to it, because libertarians, anarchists, subscribers to the non-aggression principle, generally speaking, believe that you own yourself. You are your own property, and that's kind of where the whole philosophy of freedom stems from, is that, you know, you are your own boss. You own yourself first and foremost.
Right. You own your body, and whatever your body does, you have to be held accountable for. So if your body does something awesome, great, right on, wonderful, and you get to profit from that. And the profit that comes from that is yours. At the same time, if your body does something terrible, if you break something that belonged to someone else, well, now we have to hold you liable for that.
Yeah, and the other thing that I wanted to just mention while we're talking about the subject of abortion from last night is that my position on it is that it's a personal choice in individual situation, that it should not be legislated. And if you are in a position where you're considering making the choice, you must first come to terms with what the consequences of your choice will be. And that's something that we didn't get to talk about last night, were the consequences of your choice.
Well, that's a tough one, because, like, if that is a human being, then you don't have the option. Like, if they own their body before they mix it with labor somehow, then you don't actually have the option there. In the same way, on the other hand, like, You don't necessarily consider all of the possible outcomes. Like, look, if you have a drink, there's more outcomes than you can consider at that point. But that doesn't mean you can't do that. So, I mean, it's a tricky situation with that, because, like, if that is a human being, then we are obligated to protect it. If they own that body, if and only if they have property, then we have to protect it, and you aren't allowed to infringe on it.
Agreed. Hey, Peakless, thank you for chiming in and for your call tonight. We appreciate it. Peakless Mountaineer, everybody, give him a round of applause.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah, he's one of the smartest.
Very smart, very smart.
One of the smartest. 603-283-6160. That's the phone number. If you want to weigh in on any subjects, we'll get to more of your calls. Coming up, this is Free Talk Live. It's the live Sunday night edition.
Saying that, it's going to be my thing now. I'm going to steal it from him.
Yeah?
No, I don't know. I can't steal it.
Can we get you and Richie Rich to, like, do harmonies?
One, two, three, and we're back!
No, you got to do... Okay, you go high, I'll go low. One, two, three.
And we're back.
That's not quite a harmony.
We got to work on it, not on air.
All right. 603-283-6160. It is Free Talk Live, in case you're wondering what this ridiculousness is that you're listening to in the studio tonight. It's myself, the captain.
Big Kahuna.
And Steve Classic.
And before we continue with the program, Free Talk Live's video archives have been over on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of stuff like that here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off now with over a million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could literally be taken down completely at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, you can download the desktop app over at library.com, lbry.com. And then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed to keep it online forever. Again, visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. Video.freetalklive.com. We've been talking about potentially abolishing the police. We've been talking about police atrocities that are committed. We've been talking about how they have a monopoly on the initiation of force, and that the existence of police is a monopoly on police services, because they do provide services, albeit they don't do it very well. They are providing services, but they also don't allow competition. And so, you know, we've had a bunch of calls about it, and we're about to get back to those right now. In fact, let's go to, I believe this is Dave in Washington. Dave, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, well, I apologize for sort of switching the topic.
No, don't ever apologize for that, because it's called Free Talk Live for a reason. If you don't want to talk about what we're talking about, call in, change the subject. So that's what you're doing.
All right, guys. Hey, on the pro-life type issue, pro-life abortion issue, I always find it interesting when I hear people at these rallies chanting various sayings, and some of the sayings they're chanting, they don't understand the sort of hypocrisy in many ways of what they're saying.
Like, let's go, Brandon?
Yeah, Joel. Yeah. So I'm talking like, in this case, no uterus, no opinion, like men can't have an opinion.
Oh, right.
And the interesting part about that is that the Roe Wade opinion originally was, you know, done by 7 male judges, so if they don't like male opinion, I guess they want Roe Wade overturned on that aspect.
Interesting,
then,
yeah.
You know, the My Body, My Choice chant, that's another one. Whenever I hear that, I want to put a sign up that has a picture of a pregnant woman. Mm-hmm. And from the belly, I want to see one of those little mental bubbles of what you're thinking. And it's a My Life, you know, My Choice from the baby's perspective.
Ah.
And because it seems like they never want to attribute the My Body, My Choice to the unborn baby. And the other issue, and the whole idea of this life thing, it all really comes down to, and I think you guys all understand this too, that it's just, when does life begin? That's the big, you know, linchpin in this whole thing. Because as soon as life begins, then it's not choice. There's no pro-choice argument anymore. You can't choose to kill somebody, whether it's in the privacy of your home, because they're making this all about privacy and trying to suggest that, you know, this basis of privacy means they're going to abolish LGBTQ rights and interracial rights. And I'm like, okay, that's all covered under the Equal Protection Clause. That doesn't have anything to do with privacy. But when I hear people make these arguments, I have a more, I feel like, logical argument for pro-life, if you want to hear it.
You called, so, you know, if you want to tell national radio about it, go for it.
All right, so here it is. It's legal and philosophical in an argument. Philosophically, we generally, most people have the agreement that you protect the most vulnerable lives among us. That's why when a ship is sinking, the kids go to the, you know, the lifeboats first.
Yep.
It doesn't get too much more vulnerable than depending on another life for your preservation when you're in the belly of the mother. So you would think that we're going to preserve that life. There's also a notion of not prosecuting or holding you accountable for someone else's deeds. So no fault of your own by something happens. And that comes in the idea of rape and incest in the case of, you know, are we going to let abortions occur? And while I sympathize with the idea of if a rape or, you know, something from incest occurs, the problem is that that is not the responsibility of the baby. And so if we, once we determine that that's a life, then you would have to say it by no fault of the child that something happened. You obviously prosecute the perpetrator of crime, but the baby doesn't hold any responsibility to that. And then as far as when do we decide when life is, because that's the crux of it, the way I've come about it is that because no one can prove it, like no scientist can say it's here, it's a heartbeat, it's mental activity or whatever, you have to err on the side of caution. Much in the way that we do in the legal system, if somebody's accused of murder, we don't say, well, we think you probably did, so you're guilty. The system is supposed to be set up so that a guilty person might go free if you can't prove beyond a reasonable doubt. So
right. The guilty person is supposed to go free before you potentially end somebody's life who's innocent.
Yeah, or take their liberty and freedom away, because we value that in this country. We're supposed to.
Well, so, that can be argued. All of that, yeah, of course, yeah.
I know you've had a lot of issues with the government. I get it, and I agree with you on most of all of that. My whole point on that, though, is that if we are going to go by that reasoning, and you kind of think of the baby as the defendant, it should be up to whether it's the mother, the state, whoever you want to say, they should have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that that is not a life. It should not be the requirement to prove that it is life. It should be the requirement to prove that it is not life. And one of the ways I go about thinking of how could I conceivably argue that it is life is I look to something that we've had for, I don't know, 50 years or so now called DNA. And since there's actual legal precedent where a rapist, because there's a statute of limitations on rape versus murder, they have actually tried DNA for rape and got a conviction. And then later on, when they found the rapist who, was accountable to that DNA, that person went to prison. They were already found guilty based on it being their DNA. So once you can identify a uniquely identifiable DNA, at that point, I believe it's extremely rational and reasonable to say that is a human life now because it's a uniquely identifiable person and DNA. What do you think?
You have some very good points and some very interesting arguments, you guys.
Well, I was going to say, would you have to test the DNA of the fetus or the baby to see if it's actually different? And if that...
I was just going to say, that's when it comes down to, at some point, you'd have to have some scientific, obviously, experiments to determine when that is. And that would involve, sampling pregnant women and going in and seeing at what point can you identify that it's a unique, identifiable DNA. Like, you'd have to figure to go into a woman and be able to find that. So there'd be some testing involved. I don't know the exact answer because I'm not a DNA, expert.
You're not a rocket surgeon?
No, sorry. But I kind of believe that it's within a few hours. I think once the sperm and the eggs combine, I don't think it's that long before it's a uniquely identifiable DNA that is created. And, you hit the go button. And from then on, that is proceeding to a living, breathing person that's going to pop out of the womb as long as we don't do something to stop the process. And so I just think that saying it's a choice to be able to kill something that very well could be a life, until you can prove it's not a life, I don't think that's a choice.
Yeah, on this topic, I mean, the views tend to be on the extremes, in my opinion. Yeah. It's either yes or no. And I hear what you're saying on the DNA thing. Sort of related to that, not exactly the same. I've heard arguments, when the baby can feel pain, things like that, which happens after X number of weeks, I forget. But I think those are viable arguments that maybe aren't at either extreme. And then
I try not to be in the extreme. I understand both points.
Right.
But the whole when movement occurs, I mean, I actually raise chickens, and sometimes you have to terminate a chicken's life, if you were going to eat that chicken. And when you cut the head off, it still moves around.
It's
hard to say that that's life.
Do not ever kick a chicken. Do not ever kick. You take the head off. Don't ever kick a chicken.
Hey, Dave, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 603-283-6160. I think Big Kahuna had something more to say on this topic. If so,
after this break.
No, when we come back.
Up
on Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. No chicken kicking going on.
And we're back.
And the phones are still packed. It's been an action-packed evening. If you're trying to get through to 603-283-6160, just keep on trying. Hopefully we can get through and get to everybody. I think it's doable at this point. This is Free Talk Live. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Captain,
Big Kahuna,
and Steve Classic.
We've been talking about, all sorts of fun things, from abolishing the police to police committing sexual assault to how do we get the government out of the way to, you know, do something about the police and their monopoly, to opinions on abortion and when does life begin and end.
I did want to follow up on that last caller.
Okay, go ahead.
In terms of hypocrisy.
Yeah, oh, right. You had something to say.
Yeah, so I've observed this. I mean, so the same crowd right now that's, you know, chanting, my body, my choice, which should say Elizabeth Warren, in that crowd, not too long ago, they weren't saying that when it came to jabbing something into your arm.
Oh, a little bit of hypocrisy?
Just a bit.
Just a little bit.
Just an observation.
Yeah. Unless it's, so I guess it's their body, Fauci's choice in that case.
Yeah, I think so.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Interesting.
Government people. Whatever the government says, do it. That's
the science is settled.
As it keeps changing daily, because that's what science is. It's the investigation. It's a method. Science is a method.
It's a method.
Of investigation and uncovering. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Science is a method. In fact, by nature, the science can actually never be settled.
It'll never be settled.
You don't want it to be settled.
No. Always new information coming out.
All right. Let's go to the phones and the fun. We've got Steve calling from Georgia. Steve, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, so I have the answer for how we get government out of the way.
My ears are perked. Yes. I feel like a German shepherd over here going, go ahead,
Steve. Did somebody in the background just call me a liar?
No, we said let's hear it.
No.
Oh, okay.
You haven't said anything. Yeah. How could you be a liar?
I mean, are you lying about having the answer?
No, I'm not.
So all right.
There's this idea. It's called mass resistance infiltration.
MRI?
And now they're changing it to ROC, resistance operating concept.
Okay.
And this is it's kind of weird that they keep changing the name, but it's the same basic principle that we've been using since, I don't know, getting the Roman Empire shut down. And what it is you take all of these people that don't like each other, or let's say they don't like each other, but they just don't share a whole lot in common, and you get them to do the same thing, and that is tell the oppressor no really loudly over and over, and not only tell the oppressor no, but not really, like, just resist, right? And it doesn't have to be violent. Like, I'm not saying we have to, you know, attack the National Guard or anything.
Right.
But what I am saying is, if all of us libertarians got together and, like, just had a conversation with all the different gangs and all the different political groups, and we're just like, hey, we really don't like each other a whole lot, but these guys, they're really bad people. How about we all just stop paying taxes? And then what you do is all these people, you know, all these different groups, they're going to have people that own businesses, and you convince the business owners, don't pay taxes, go on this different market, and we all buy, sell, and trade with people that like us. And then all of a sudden, they don't have the money to continue the operation. There's too much resistance. It doesn't make sense. And then what you do is you say, hey, over here in Northwest Georgia, it's Steventopia. And
well, Steve, I have to ask then, like, if that, and I agree, that seems like a sound strategy. Wouldn't that strategy be most effective if people who share the ideas of freedom were to all gather in, say, one small state in the U.S. Yeah. and attempt to do exactly what you're saying? Wouldn't that have a greater impact than, you know, everybody doing it disparately?
Historically, no. And the reason is, think about this. The United States is, let's just use close numbers. The United States is about 2,000 miles wide, about 19 miles in latitude and longitude, about, I guess you could say, high on a map.
Mm-hmm.
If all of the resistors went to New Hampshire, it would be pretty easy just to stomp us out. Like, geographically, it's easy to isolate and just handle. But if you're doing it in New Hampshire with, you know, you and a couple thousand people, and then I'm over here in Northwest Georgia doing it with a couple hundred people, and there's a couple thousand people over here and a couple thousand people over here, and we're just scattered, how are they going to deal with us? Not only that,
well,
but
No, I see your point. I never said all of the people, but I think a large enough number of people gathering in a state like New Hampshire, for example, and sort of, showing the way, right? We've got a whole bunch of activists here. There's one in the studio.
Right, it's like a proof of concept. We're doing the proof of concept here.
Right, do the proof of concept and kind of show other people how to say no. How do you say no at a traffic stop, for example? How do you say no when you're in a public place? There's all sorts of activism that happens in the little town the show's based out of, like in the town square, for example. Which
red,
is actually
red
a
square.
Circle. Yeah, it's red. Actually
it's
a circle.
Not a square.
It's not a square.
Nor is it red.
But what do you think about that? Like showing people how it's done.
So once again, if let's use random numbers. Let's say 5%. Of all the knowers, all move to Keene, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now Keene becomes a no hot spot.
Mm-hmm.
They go in, and like this is, if you read Rock, right? I think the new one just came out. If it's by Otto Fila or something, F-I-A-L-A.
Yeah, yeah.
If you read that book, you understand something, and that is, okay, we all go to Keene. We all get together and smoke weed and blow weed in their face, and they go to pull me over, and I go, nope. And I just drive to the Freedom Church, and I walk in, and there's a bunch of people, and they're like, hey, there's no way we can get this guy into cuffs. And we just make it really hard for them. All of a sudden, someone signs a piece of paper, and the 82nd Airborne and the 3rd Marine Battalion or whoever is walking around forcing us to say yes.
Yeah, but doesn't that just further illustrate the tyrants that they are? Again, we're attempting to show.
But, okay, so the Marines come in, the 101st come in, whoever comes in, and a bunch of us get slaughtered, right? And now all of a sudden...
I think that's an unrealistic outcome. I do not believe the United States government would send troops to murder, quote, citizens, unquote, of its own country.
Well, it's happened before.
It has. Yeah. The MOVE bombing recently occurred. It's true. But that is also something that they like to sweep under the rug and not be highly publicized. Something like that happening now with the age of the internet and people with cell phones and everybody and their dog taking pictures and video and posting it, right. Streaming it live. I mean, no, it's just I think it's an unrealistic expectation to think that there's going to be military action taken against peaceful activists.
Okay. Now, there's one thing that when you study these concepts, there's one thing I find really interesting. How many resistors do you think you need?
3%.
3%.
Yeah, 3%. I think the statistics historically say 3%.
Yeah, you actually need 2.71.
Oh, I was wrong.
Yeah, but
rounds,
I mean,
rounds to three.
Yeah, libertarians, we're not good at math.
Well, some of us are.
Only 1% need to be the doers. Only 1% need to be the doers. So,
yes.
If you have 273 people running around together saying, hey, we're going to do this, this, and this, only 100% have to be the ones carrying things out. Only 1% have to be marching down the street. Only 1%. Have to look at the cop and go, the ticket you're giving me, and just throw it out the window and drive off.
Hey, Steve, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. And it gives new meaning to 1%. That's a 1% I can get behind. 1% of the necessary total of activists to make change. If you are a doer and you are of the mind of freedom, if you have philosophized, you believe in the ownership of self, in the non-aggression principle, and you want to see freedom achieved in your lifetime, look into moving to New Hampshire for the Greater Freedom Movement. There are all sorts of things here, like the Free State Project, for example. There are other people who don't participate in those who would love to have you as their neighbors.
New Hampshire!
603-283-6160 is the number. More of your calls and more Free Talk Live is coming up. Hour number 3 is next.
Free Talk Live. And we're back.
We are, and it is hour number three of this live Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. The telephone number 603-283-6160. We've still got a grip of callers on hold. If you're having trouble getting through, just keep trying. 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Big Kahuna.
Steve Classic.
And it's getting real close. ForkFest 2022 is nearly upon us. You can join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 27th through July 3rd for the 6th annual ForkFest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which sold out for the first time in 2021. ForkFest takes place the week after ForkFest, but ForkFest is decentralized, and that means there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 27th through July 3rd. I can't think of a better place to celebrate Independence Day than around other freedom-loving people here in New Hampshire. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party, where you can connect with other attendees. You can find the ForkFest Telegram and the Matrix chat rooms as well. Again, forkfest.party. We hope to see you there, forkfest.party. All right. We're talking about all sorts of fun stuff. The last caller we had, I thought it was pretty good. He had some pretty valid points. Yeah. Did you guys have anything more before we go back to the phones?
Nothing for me.
All right. Yeah. Well, then let's continue.
The captain continues.
Let's continue on. Let's go to David in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, you come to judge. You come to judge.
Where's the judge that he's, you know, where's he coming from?
No, he's in Albuquerque, man. That Tommy Jewel, man, the one that's married to Angela Jewel, you know, the one that trafficked my children.
Does this have something to do with
Monica Zamora?
Yeah, and Monica Zamora and our
John J. Romero, John J. Romero Jr., man. Romero Jr., judge, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, okay. that one. Yeah, so anyway, before the brown judges trafficked my children, the black judges trafficked my children way before the brown judges trafficked my children. But y'all don't know nothing about that yet because I've been all busy talking about the brown judges. So now we can talk about the black judges, you know, Tommy Jewel and Angela Jewel, because they both judges. They married each other. You know, they both went to UNM Law School. There's a pattern there too, man.
Hey, David, can I just ask you to, I don't know if you're yelling into the phone. There's some crackling going on at the top of, you know. You just,
man, we all yelling in this hood all the time, man. We just can't help it, man.
Maybe hold the phone a little further away from your face then while you're yelling.
It's all the way at the end of my arm now. I'll try growing some longer arms before my next call.
All right, that sounds good.
Yeah, okay, man. All right, so 3 feet, got a 3 foot rule going on here.
Oh, it's like COVID,
social distancing.
Yeah, man. I'd do 6 feet for you, but I don't. But I'm just a white boy. I ain't good at basketball. I ain't got them long old arms, you know. So I can't do it. Yeah.
All right. So, did you have a topic? What were you calling about?
Yeah, well, that is the topic. The brown judges trafficked my children, the M. Monica Zamora and the John J. Romero Jr. But before the brown judges trafficked my children, the black judges trafficked my children, the Tommy and Angela Jewel. So that's what I was telling you. You know the one that got all up in my grill at the black barbershop when I went there to get my white hair cut?
No.
You remember that, right?
No.
Yeah, well, okay, well, anyway, Tommy Jewel, he got up in my face. He got up in my grill. He put his head about a foot from my face when I asked him about his wife trafficking my children when I ran into him at the black barbershop. So that's the one. You know, the one that's the ninth degree or 33rd degree black belt.
Hey David, but yeah. poor job. Very poor. Yes, poor impersonation. Thank you for the call. I don't know what he's getting at. He's been on sort of a racist tinge.
Boy,
recently.
If you ever want to throw the emergency brakes on a good time, just
take a call from David in New Mexico.
Hostility.
Let's try, like the government does, sweep that under the rug. Yeah.
Let's restart the karma. Yeah.
Let's go to Major Payne in Michigan. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh, that's a Major Payne.
Oh, nope, sorry, Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh yes, thanks for taking my call. I'm always happy to hear David. I mean, he's just really off the wall, and he lives in our state. But Anyways, I just want
to... Do you know him?
Well, I've only heard him on the radio show. I've never met him. I know quite a bit of his life.
Okay.
From calling in all the time, and I know about his kids that he's missing. So, but anyways, I wanted to expose Albuquerque corruption of the...
Okay.
This company was supposed to remodel the airport, where the waiting areas or something. They got this contract, and they know the company's name, but they dragged out dragged it out longer than what it's supposed to, and they overcharged, and they're being audited. And all this happened with Mayor Berry's administration. Mayor Berry is the one that took out all of our red light cameras, by the way.
Okay.
That's how he got elected. So, but, you know, they'll do anything and say anything. And what's amazing is that Mayor Berry, he was a contractor before he ran for mayor. I mean, what is an odd, you know, flip-flop over?
Well, usually if somebody was a contractor and then they get into politics and become a politician, they then use their position of power to curry favor and, you know, give contracts to, like, their contractor friends and that type of a thing. That's generally how it goes.
Oh, yeah. I definitely knew that was coming up. So, I mean, he did everything 3 months before he got reelected and pulled out all the red light cameras. They didn't care how many people got killed. And everybody was thinking...
Wait.
You talk about red light cameras being removed like it's a bad thing.
Yeah, how do people die from red light cameras being removed?
Well, the thing is, the red light cameras was also another con job to get reelected. What he said was, I'll do a thorough study before he got reelected, and he dumped it onto the voters. And then once he found out there was 3,000 more people that voted against the red light cameras, the voters, he just did whatever which way the wind blew that was going to get the votes to get him reelected.
Oh, wow. I mean, like, we've never heard of this happening in politics.
Yeah, it's like in the state of Connecticut. Right. They magically withheld the 25-cent state gas tax, and it's an election year, right?
Right.
Yeah, magic. This happens all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then we were figuring out that all of his buddies – we're going to get all the contracts. And what I hear is that once they leave the offices, that's when they make the real money. Because those people that got hooked up, they'll turn around and give him jobs.
Yep. Hey, Sarah, thanks for the call. And keep looking into that stuff, because you're going to find that that happens far more frequently. And you'll find that far more things happen than what you're describing. Keep on keeping on. We appreciate the call. Let's go right away to Major Payne. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, Captain, I got a couple besides the old chicken kicking thing.
What's the chicken kicking thing?
Yeah, I got an update from the Brito Supreme Court, and I also wanted to touch on one of your earlier callers. You guys were bickering over 2.71% or 3% of the population it takes to overthrow the government.
For activism to be effective.
Well, it took 3% of the population to overthrow Britain in the Revolutionary War, I guess is my point.
Okay.
And
it wasn't 2.71?
It was not 2.71.
All right, just checking.
But, anyway, the first time that the military was sicked upon the populace on this continent was over marijuana.
No. Marijuana? The devil's lettuce?
Yes, the devil's lettuce.
Chiba?
These were big, tall indica plants. They wanted long fibers for making ropes and sails and such.
Just one marijuana and your children will be addicted instantly.
Oh, I know. It's the weed with the devil's roots in hell. I remember the poster well. But,
Hey, Major, can you hang on?
Sure.
All right, we'll bring you back. Stand by. 603-283-6160. Don't let your children do even one marijuana.
No.
They could overdose and potentially die. This is Snarkasm, by the way. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up. It is Free Talk Live. The telephone number, if you would like to weigh in on anything we've been talking about tonight, we've talked about all sorts of fun stuff, including officers found at fault for failing to stop another cop from beating an innocent teen. We've talked about how the free market could replace police and do it better and for a more reasonable price with more choice. Whoa, what a concept. Whoa.
Pro-choice police.
We've talked about what is life? When does life begin? There's a whole bunch of opinions on that. We've had more opinions on abortion. We've talked about showing resistance through activism. We've had David in New Mexico harsh our buzz a little bit. And so we're here. Let's go back to the phones because we were talking with Major Payne, who called about something. I know you were going to talk about kicking chickens, but I'm not sure what you really called about.
Well, that was just a joke I was going to open with.
Okay, well, go ahead. You can open with it now.
All right. Well, you guys were talking about kicking chickens. Well, you never want to kick a chicken because chickens are considered foul, correct?
Foul. Oh, boy.
Every time you kick a chicken, he will fly foul.
That's it. I don't. Is
neither
that
fair nor foul?
Okay, so there. Hang on. There's this thing in the world known as a dad joke, right? Now that's worse than a dad joke. So
I'm a grandpa.
Okay, so granddad joke.
Granddad jokes. Yeah.
I'm fixing to be a great grandpa.
That's a fitting description. It's a great granddad joke.
So, right.
I tell you what, Captain, you disclosed your age the other night on the radio. You guys ought to open up an office pool. How old is Major? I'll give you your first clue.
Okay, wait, no. I want to guess. Hang on. Before you give us any clues,
over under.
Let's just guess. I'm going to say Major Payne is 67 years old. Kahuna?
I'm going to say
nope.
81.
Oh, I was going to say 81. I'll take 82.
Oh, goodness gravy, where are my teeth? No, you're all the way foul, like kicking.
All right, how old are you?
No, you guys need to open up an office pool. You can make money on it.
Right, to get squares, you know. Just...
Well, we were thinking, actually, of opening a combination.
I'm going to give you the first hint right now. Right. I was born 100 years after peace was made at the courthouse. Bang.
I don't know. I'm as old as the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Anyway, we was talking about the first time that the war was waged upon the citizenry, and that was over marijuana pot. King George wanted the farmers to grow hemp.
Yep.
And there was more profit in tobacco.
Right.
So, and then about, my mind's working right, about 75 years after that, there was the Whiskey Rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
The Highlanders had moved over to the Appalachians, and they discovered that they could put 7 bushels of corn into a whiskey jug and take it out over on the ass of a jack, or the jack of an ass, as it were.
Okay.
But anyway, as far as the Burrito Supreme Court, there was a decision, last couple of days here, that there was some Catholic or Christian organization that wanted to fly a flag on a pole about the whole birthrights thing. Well, the Burrito Supreme Court said that, well, this is not a government-sanctioned pole, so they can fly whatever the frick they want. Well, now the Church of Satan or some such thing has filed for a suit where they want to be able to fly their flag. A couple of them, one of them picturing baby dismemberment.
I'll talk to Ari about that. Maybe she knows something.
That's just wrong, dude.
Yeah. Are you familiar with a comedian named Doug Stanhope?
No, sir.
All right. So he did this thing where there was a person leaving these flyers that were, you know, against child porn and, you know, abortion and, you know, all these kinds of things on people's cars underneath their windshield wipers or whatever. And it happened when he was getting out of his gig or whatever. And on the back of it was the picture of, like, you know, the scan of like a woman pregnant with the, you know, the embryo inside of her or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so this guy apparently was just like a local guy who felt strongly about his position and made these flyers. But he put his actual phone number on these flyers of the guy. And so Doug Stanhope called him up and he did this like sort of reverse psychology thing on him. He's like, how dare you put a naked fetus on your flyer? You have committed the most heinous child porn that anybody, right? So he reversed the thing on the guy and it was hilarious. Anything else, Major?
No.
All right.
I wouldn't want to wake up with that dude's phone number, I'll tell you that.
Thanks for the call, Major. We appreciate it. We've been having a lot of fun. However, the topic we left off on, not so fun, and that is this article from the Free Thought Project where a 10-year-old girl had called 911 to report to police that her dad was sexually assaulting her. Her dad happens to be a Chicago cop. He was arrested and initially charged with a heinous felony, but after spending several hours in jail, he would be released on zero bail with new charges of domestic battery, merely a misdemeanor.
I'm surprised he didn't just get a parking ticket.
Or right? No, it's fine. Ugh. You're a police. It's fine.
Give you a warning.
It's cool. You're protecting and serving. You do right. Whatever you
qualified
want.
Qualified immunity.
Yeah. Though body worn camera footage was mentioned in the original report, a month later, and officials began claiming that there is no body camera footage. Only after attempting to hide it the first time, the video would finally be turned over to the assistant state attorney's office of Thomas Frank. Never trust a man with two first names.
Unless his name is Ron Paul. That's the only caveat I say.
You can listen to Ron Paul. Trusting him?
Trusting. All right. Okay.
So anyway, it took a second subpoena to get this camera footage, this body cam. The Times reports that after the girl called 911, she told investigators her father kissed her cheek and lips and told her, quote, he wanted more, while sucking her tongue, according to the arrest report and a charging document.
I mean, a father would actually do that to their kid. I mean, is it a stepchild, maybe? How old was the 10?
10.
Really?
The remaining details have been sealed because, quote, release of the victim's statements to the public could be disturbing for the victim and cause the victim to relive the traumatizing experience, unquote.
Probably bad for the police as well.
Well, that's how statists say bad for the police. Yes. They say, oh, we're trying to protect the victim. And when they're really protecting themselves, their own cops.
Right.
Court records show the officer was initially ordered to surrender his firearm and stay away from his daughter. But less than a week later, the order was amended, allowing him to visit and potentially threaten or re-victimize his alleged victim. A hearing on the case's status has been set for June 1st. 603-283-6160. If you want to weigh in on this horrendous story, this is Free Talk Live. And it is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. If you have missed any part of tonight's show thus far, or any of the other shows, we're here 7 nights a week, you can find all of them at freetalklive.com in the archive section. So, you know, I know when I was living on the West Coast, I was working like a 8-to-5 type job, and I wouldn't get home until, you know, the show was an hour or so into it, so I'd always miss the first hour. But I would use the archive to catch up and, you know, oh, what did I miss? And who is that? Oh, I came in halfway on this call or this topic, you know, kind of a thing. So it works out. So freetalklive.com. Check out the archives there. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Big Kahuna.
And Steve Classic.
I think we're just going to, I don't want to call it the lightning round, but we'll call it the speed round. We're just going to mention some things because we have tons of topics to talk about. This is from Reason.com. The IRS stole money and hid the details for years. As law enforcement agencies patrol for profit, the secrecy surrounding cash seizures must stop. You guys are probably wondering, okay, well, what is this about? The Internal Revenue Service demands transparency for you and me, of course. They open ledgers, snoop through bank accounts, review receipts, but its appetite for disclosure disappears when the roles reverse. The IRS stonewalled for more than 6 years when our public interest law firm, the Institute for Justice, sought access to the agency's forfeiture database. Initially, the IRS wanted a $750,000 fee before it would accommodate the request, an unreasonable demand that would render the Freedom of Information Act useless for all but the wealthiest citizens.
Jeez. I'd pay the $750K because they probably got $200, $300 million, more than that.
The point is that if it supposedly is a public agency.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't have to pay for it.
And anybody who's dealt with agencies, especially the IRS.
Theirs.
Right. Yeah.
We need a fee.
You didn't sign the right paperwork. It's sitting on somebody's desk.
Yep.
I mean, the excuses and the red tape is just endless.
They'll keep you going in circles.
Yeah, until most people give up. I mean, that's the reality of it.
Once in court, the IRS attempted a bait and switch. Rather than provide the actual data, it released a summary of the report that was 99% redacted, which means crossed out with like black marker. It then declared that it had gone above and beyond the legal requirements. The ruse worked at the district court level, but the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit ruled against the agency in 2019. After a second trip to the district court, the IRS finally coughed up the full database in April of 2022.
So how long did that take?
6 years. Can you imagine? Now, how long do you think if the IRS was asking you for, you know, all of your records and your bank and your tax filings and all that, you know, how long do you think they'd wait 6 years?
You have until Friday.
They usually want it immediately.
If not sooner.
Yeah.
You got 1 week to get it to us.
Right. For those of you not familiar why I say theirs, the, T-H-E, and then IRS, IRS, if you put them together, spells theirs.
There's report.
Sounds about right.
Something I wanted to get to yesterday but wasn't able to. Germany has announced, they announced it, and then some people are like, well, wait, what does that really mean? And they asked Germany, this is the politicians now in Germany, so take it for what it's worth, but they asked them to clarify what it means, and they have done so. Germany says no taxes, capital gains specifically, no taxes for selling Bitcoin, BTC, and Ethereum, ETH, if you've held it for over a year.
And what about your Shiba Inu?
Yeah, they haven't.
Well, and your Shibu, out of luck.
What about your Dogecoin?
Germany's finance ministry said private individuals won't have to pay taxes when selling BTC or ETH if they have held the assets for more than a year. Germany's Ministry of Finance published a letter focused on the income tax treatment of digital assets, such as Bitcoin and Ethereum. So maybe it covers all of the digital assets. I don't know. Mm. After collaborating with the highest tax authorities of the federal states, the lawmakers decided to make the sale of Bitcoin and Ethereum tax-free if those assets were held for over 12 months. The policy will apply even if the cryptocurrencies have been employed for staking or lending.
I'm very surprised by that.
Me too.
Yeah, I thought Shanghai just said that Bitcoin is digital property. It's not a currency. I don't know. Everyone's all up in arms. Like, what is it? I don't know.
Yeah. interestingly enough, the Crypto 6 case, which if you're unfamiliar with, you can find out more at thecrypto6.com. That's thecrypto6.com. Interestingly, in that case, it may come about the disagreement between the federal government and the New Hampshire government as to what cryptocurrency actually is.
Right, it's a computing platform, isn't it? Or it's computing power?
New Hampshire recognizes it as, in my opinion, the correct way is what it is, which is computer code. Right. And computer code is speech. And so in New Hampshire, cryptocurrency is speech and thus regulated as freedom of speech, whereas the federal government recognizes it as an asset, right? A commodity, if you will. And so it's possible that these two things, you know, come to a head with the Crypto 6 case.
It'll end up in the Supreme Court, maybe.
We'll see. But, like, there will be some precedent set, I think, by the time all is said
and
done.
But if it's speech, how could the federal government go against speech?
How can they tax speech?
You can't tax speech, can you? I don't know.
I've never heard of speech being taxed.
We'll find out.
Have you? Yeah.
Well, if anybody can do it, they can do it.
The IRS will take 6 years to figure that out.
They have all the guns, so all you need to do is threaten everybody.
Right.
Also, previously, digital assets used in such activities had to be held for 10 years to be exempt from taxation in Germany. The ministry outlined that this is the first time when the subject has been addressed with a nationwide uniform administrative instruction. The officials vowed to keep dealing with the digital asset taxation policy and eliminate any arising issues. To do so, they will work in close coordination with federal tax authorities and blah, 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 government this, that.
Authorities. I love that word. It's like officials.
So this is close, my opinion. It's something new that is kind of undefinable, or it meets several definitions because of what it is. It also has the ability to change. I'm talking about cryptocurrencies in general, Bitcoin, any of them.
Right.
Because they're code, right? If the folks who are, you know, maintaining the code and making sure that it stays up to date and it stays a working digital thing, right? If they decide it needs to change in some way, they just go ahead and write more code and make the change. That's how it works. So it's an adaptable thing, which is really going to be interesting when governments start trying to say, oh, you can't do this. And they go, oh, well, we'll just write some code around that.
Right. Your Google web browser is a taxable asset. Yeah. What?
Yeah. So we'll see how that all turns out. Speaking of cryptocurrency, the United Arab Emirates, biggest airline, Emirates, is set to use Bitcoin as a payment for flight.
So you can use computer code to fly around the world?
One of the United Arab Emirates leading airlines, Emirates Airline, said it has plans to add Bitcoin as a payment service. The airline is planning to recruit personnel to create applications that monitor client needs. Reports of the airline's plan to embrace Bitcoin come just a few weeks after it revealed its NFT and metaverse plans. As reported by Bitcoin.com News, the company's goal with the metaverse launch is to ensure the airline is aligned with the UAE's vision for the digital economy.
Wow. That's pretty good. I like that.
Cryptocurrency going mainstream, man. I mean, I don't know how much more mainstream you get than one of the, you know, major airlines.
You can fly to Washington, D.C.
603-283-6160. Coming up, why is it when Mark Cuban says something that I've been saying, he's been hailed as a prophet, but I am called a conspiracy theorist? This is Free Talk Live.
Yeah! And we're back. Final segment
of Free Talk Live is underway. We'll get to your calls and thoughts momentarily. In the studio, it's myself, the captain,
Big Kahuna,
and Steve Classic.
And before we go on with the show, I want to take a minute to say thank you to Jack. Jack is a silver level amplifier. What is an amplifier, you might ask? No, it's not a piece of equipment that guitars make sound out of. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. And you can find out all about it over at amps.freetalklive.com. This is a way for you to contribute to our program and help us get on more radio stations. We're currently on somewhere near 200. We could be on 220, 250, 300 is not out of the question. It's all up to you. The money goes, as stated in the title, Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support, to help get us to more listeners. So if you enjoy the hosts, the co-hosts, the topics, the callers, if you find value in what you're listening to and you want to help us spread the message of liberty, peace, and freedom to more people, consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, Jack, for your contribution. You are important, and we appreciate you.
You could be in Stevetopia in Georgia.
Stevetopia.
Start a new station down there.
Yeah. Hey, Stevetopia, you should be broadcasting us if you're not. We have somebody on hold, but I wanted to just, we teased before going to the break there that Mark Cuban is saying something that I've been saying for a while. And people are like,
you're crazy.
Libertarians, and particularly like early adopters of like cryptocurrency, stuff like that, which we all are, generally have a higher rate of pattern recognition than, say, the average Joe. And I've attributed that to my opinion on cryptocurrency. I've been saying for a long time that cryptocurrency is following almost identically. There are some variations, but it's following the same technological adoption curve that the internet followed, and that we are currently in the we're probably right around the search engine wars time, right, of the internet, right? When before Google took over, it was
Netscape
and Dice and Ask Jeeves and all that kind of thing. Yeah. So I've been saying this for a long time. This from Fortune.com, Mark Cuban is reliving the internet boom when he looks to crypto. The, quote, consolidation phase, unquote, is coming, he says. And the consolidation phase, of course, does refer to right around the search engine wars time, when everything just started like, the smaller companies started getting bought up by the bigger companies.
Pets.com went south like Shiba Inu.
The dot bomb happened, right, instead of dot com. Yep. All of that happened. So I have an article on that, but I want to get to Jack, who's calling from Washington. Jack, you're on Free Talk Live.
I was going to call about abortion, and then I thought, well, I'm going to say something about Mark Cuban.
All right.
But then I heard what you guys just said about Mark Cuban, and I am short of knowledge.
So I've been saying that, you know, cryptocurrency is following the same tech curve as the internet has. And people are like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, or you're a conspiracy theorist, or, you know, whatever. They're calling me a hack or whatever. Mark Cuban says it, and they're like, oh, this guy is prophetic. He is a seer, you know. And I'm like,
well, this is what I was going to say. He seems like, you know, how there's B movies.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the B billionaire, ironically enough. He's one way or the other. Sometimes he's a liberal, so he's a conservative. He owns basketball people, you know, and that seems kind of racist.
He's the Tim Thomerson of, billionaires.
You know, he's on that show where they have to, like, give money away for inventions. I mean, that's every commercial on, you know, Words with Friends.
I guarantee you right now there are people searching, who's Tim Thomerson? Tim Thomerson was the B-est of B-movie actors. He was in all of the B-movies. And as soon as you see his face, you'd be like, oh, that guy. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. That's Mark Cuban, man. You just see him, oh, that guy. Yeah. He's in a meme, you know, yeah. The Republicans are like, "Hell, he's so awesome!" And then 2 seconds later, the Democrats are like, "Oh my God, he's amazing!" You know, yeah, he's just a B billionaire.
Is that what you wanted to say about him?
Yeah, that I didn't know about the Bitcoin stuff, and I root for Bitcoin, and I am, you know, I don't quite understand it. If there's one of those, what are they called? Electric magnetic pulses or whatever.
EMP, yep.
Yeah, what happens if, you know, what happens to our Bitcoin?
Yeah, what happens to your bank account?
Well, so if there is an EMP,
yeah, exactly,
like, you're not going to be able to get any cash out of your bank either.
Same
so
thing. Yeah.
However, that being said, I covered I think we mentioned it in maybe a speed round a couple of weeks ago, that Doge, for the first time, it's a different cryptocurrency if you're not familiar with it, was transmitted via radio broadcast.
Oh, that's cool.
So in the case of an EMP, as long as somebody somewhere, and it's very likely because governments build bunkers, people build, you know, stuff in the sides of mountains or whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some electronics that still fire up post-EMP. And as long as some of those electronics are left over and can fire up. Well, if they have a copy of any blockchain on them, the blockchain can then still be used. And as soon as more computers get, you know, repaired or built or whatever it takes, the blockchain can continue
just
as if nothing happened.
Right.
And people can actually transmit value OTA, over the air, right, via regular-ass radio, just like we're being broadcast on right now here on Free Talk Live.
Yeah. Well, I would say, like, you know, like Mark Cuban's talking about the internet, and I tell people about Bitcoin. I said, well, just pretend it's 1995, 1996, and there's this company called Amazon, and in the future, they're going to deliver everything to your house.
Yeah, you
and
mean people, the bookstore?
No, no,
like, no.
That can never happen.
Crazy.
You mean the website for books?
Yeah, they're going to deliver everything, even baby formula.
That's a crazy concept.
Exactly. Like, they're going to be worth
a
trillion
dollars.
They're
not going to be able to deliver baby formula now.
No, not unless you're from Canada.
Here's a quote. Crypto, this is Mark Cuban, a quote from him. Crypto, it's actually a tweet that he tweeted.
Go.
Crypto is going through the lull that the internet went through. Oh, thanks. Oh. Thank you, Captain Obvious. After the initial surge of exciting apps, NFTs, DeFi, P2E, we saw the imitation phase as chains subsidized the movement of those apps to their chains, bandwidth, and storage subsidy startups in the 2000s. Thank you, Mark Cuban. You're such a brilliant prophet.
He's so much smarter than you, Captain.
Yeah, I guess. Jack, did you have anything more to say? You said, I thought you had another topic.
I was just going to say just nicely and politely that I have family that remind me of a certain David from New Mexico. And they, with their knowledge of judges and their attention to detail, mm-hmm. seem like they have a lot of times have a certain type of substance abuse that may put them in front of judges and make them have family problems. I'm being as polite as I can.
I see. You have a theory as to why a certain caller behaves in the manner that he does.
Yes, based on behavior I've seen before from close family.
Interesting.
So I care about him.
All right. Anything else?
I hope the best for him. No, that's it, man. Thanks, guys. Great show tonight. I don't know what you were doing, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
It's Kahuna. He's here.
It's Big Kahuna night here at Free Talk Live. Thanks for the call, Jack. We appreciate you. Yeah, an excellent baptism for the Big Kahuna as well.
Oh, thank you. I had a great time.
Yeah, it's been fun, and we hope to do it again. We'll have some, you know, some more shuffling around as time goes on and people, you know, take days off and summer's here and all that kind of stuff.
Big Kahuna night.
Yeah. So if you're around.
I will be around.
I'm happy
pretty
to.
Often.
Happy to put you in the seat, of course. Just more,
so what else did Cuban say?
More on Cuban. After
more on what?
More on Cuban.
Cuban. Right, yeah. Like that. That's great.
After a recent surge of exciting blockchain-based innovations in the crypto space, we already read that, he compared this to the dot-com boom. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yes. In the 2000s, when internet startups behaved similarly, launching copycat products and promising returns before the bubble burst.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying that all these other cryptocurrencies, right? And,
right.
And what happened with these companies? This is called competition, right?
Right.
So you see Bitcoin, the sort of the big daddy right now of cryptocurrencies, and then Ethereum came along and said, well, we want to do that, but we also want to, they had a different philosophy. We want to build like a computer in the sky that people can develop programs on. And other people saw both of these applications and went, well, we can do that. Right. And also, like, I'm a big fan of things like Monero, privacy coins in general, that type of a thing. So I want to see, you know, more features being developed. I want to see features on individual coins become default features in coins that don't have them.
And the Bitcoin browser.
That'd be sweet. We're out of time. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate you. Thank you, Big Kahuna. Thank you, Steve Classic. Thank you to our listeners. Peace.